This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
We have in the studio now Jude Munro and Steve Barrow, who are both from the board of the Victorian Pride Centre. And of course, Jude's turned up with a beautiful rainbow cake. Thank you, Jude.
It was for a six-year-old's birthday party last night.
I'm more than 6 years old.
But I thought, well, isn't it wonderful how the rainbow message has permeated the whole community? I just think it's extraordinary.
It's pretty good. Thank you for the cake.
My absolute pleasure. And to all the volunteers here. For people who aren't in the studio, there must be about 20 volunteers around here. Isn't Joy fantastic with all
Joy
its
operates
volunteers?
On a solid base of about 300 volunteers. There's only about five paid staff, and about 300 volunteers.
Yes, well, clearly fueled by cake, because I'll go out there, there's fruit, there's biscuits, there's been a party celebrating the work of a couple of volunteers earlier this morning. How good is this?
Beck has retired. She's been doing a show on Saturday mornings. It must be between 7 and 10 or something, some ungodly hour, for 16 years.
Well, three cheers for Beck and
absolutely
for everybody else. It's
so
just
she's having
marvelous.
A short, long service leave break, and hopefully she will be back. Anyway, tell us about the Pride Centre. What's the latest development?
Well, as you know, and Steve's here today, we're absolutely delighted that we're going to be able to be providing a permanent home.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's really good to be here. And the developments of the Pride Centre and what it's going to be able to give to the community are just amazing. So, you know, we open with the conversation then about Joy and the volunteers. You know, this is about creating a home. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so I think some people have said why St Kilda. That's been a bit of discussion in the course of the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've heard a bit of that too, actually.
Yeah, and I just to for those of people out there in radio land that don't know the reasons for why St Kilda was selected, there were three councils that put in four expressions of interest, and the three councils were the City of Yarra, City of Melbourne and City of Port Phillip. And what a delight Robert Doyle is as the Lord Mayor. He has had a long-standing commitment to the LGBTI community. But basically,
and to this station, actually, he's our landlord, and he has been a very active supporter.
Oh, and the village is just wonderful because we've got I think it's four or five organisations that are based here, and Yarra, Port Phillip, and Melbourne have been long-standing committed councils to support the LGBTI community. And that's something we'd love to see spread over the whole of metropolitan Melbourne, indeed the whole of Victoria. But basically, the other two sites or three sites that were provided by Melbourne and Yarra had existing leases on them, and we couldn't get access to them for 3 to 5 years, and they weren't freehold.
Yeah, no, well, that's...
And so one had an organisation with a 999-year lease.
Yeah, well, how do you move them out?
Yeah, well, I figure none of us are going to be Methuselahs. We're not going to be around for that. And the others had significant leases with the options to extend.
Positively, Jude, you wanted to move now, and you wanted to move somewhere secure, and having the freehold title gave you something secure.
Oh, yes. And, yeah, so vacant possession, freehold, that was a $13 million deal, whereas there was no indication that we would be supported to actually move existing lessees out, and would we want to be doing that in any case?
No, that's not your job.
No. So, look, they were very complicated deals, and we figured that we just could not go past that. So some people have said, oh, why not the CBD? But I think the finances just wouldn't have worked because we don't have $15 million or $13 million to buy a CBD property.
I had this argument with Taz on the phone the other day, so I might as well run it again.
Yes, go on.
I have heard a little bit of criticism that says, well, what about the west of Melbourne? What about regional Victoria? Yeah, it's a train trip, but it's more than a train trip to Southern Cross. And Tess's answer was partially, well, there'll be a lot of virtual networking in the Pride too, so that what's actually centred there physically is also going to be spread around, you know, on the internet.
So tell us about the virtual stuff. How's that going to work?
So we want to build out the centre in its physical and its virtual sort of presence. This is the beginning, and increasingly the communities connect through online and virtual. And so the vision and our strategy has that those are really important parts. And you know, coming to the decision, as Jude said, was a really thorough process, and it was a challenging process. And there was a lot of community engagement. So,
Steve, what will this virtual thing look like? What is it? Is it a website?
It will begin with a website, and that is being built out at the moment. There's a lot of work that we've been doing with volunteer agencies and creative people thinking around what the virtual Pride Centre could be. So a lot of it is that we want input from the community as we go and we build. I mean, for us, the priority very much was securing, to begin with, the physical home and the base for Pride, and then building out the virtual presence from that, and then subsequent centres.
And that was the second point I made with Taz, and I think you've hinted at what the answer is there. If you started with a hub and satellites type model, you know what I mean? So that from the beginning of the discussions of what the physical centre could be, there was also a discussion of how it could support other enterprises. Or I was reading on the internet the other day about a mob who want to start up a cafe as a bit of a centre in Ballarat. Okay, well, great idea. Yeah. Now, if you could use the intellectual and social support resources of a centre, the hub, to encourage satellites like that, and that was built into the almost the operating rationale of the centre, I think it would address some of those questions about geographical location.
Terry, I think there's a few things to separate out. One is an organisation like Joy, where we don't need lots of satellites. Joy needs a permanent home that will service eventually the whole of Victoria, maybe with an extension of its transmitting capability.
Yes,
that would be sensational. And we know that Joy, through the wonders of the web, is able to get out there anyway with podcasts and other facilities.
A couple of weeks ago, in fact, Jude, you were in the very studio. My young cousin was listening to us via
streaming.
Via the net.
Via the streaming capability from Sparta in the south of Greece.
Wow.
Well, there you go. And, gee, they must have been up late. A bit of a party won't
Nikos
go up.
Nikos is very young.
Yeah. So I think that's one thing, is that some organisations, and we'd include Switchboard with that.
Yeah, don't need that
and
satellite presence. Yeah.
And we'd include Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives also with that.
And especially if you put some of the archive into the virtual domain, it's accessible anywhere.
Yeah.
So I think that's one point. And the other is the spread of services. I've noticed, because I've been in as a planner of services in professional life, I have observed strategic planning of cities, and often at the outskirts of cities with new suburbs, you don't see the development of the service system as much as you would like to. So we see, for instance, the spread of professional services like lawyers and doctors throughout Australia, You get further out to remote Australia, you can barely find one. But then as you get closer into the inner part of a metropolitan area, you tend to see more of a service base. And what we would like to see is health and well-being services, for instance, spread throughout metropolitan Melbourne. They will not all be based in a Victorian Pride Centre.
But the Pride Centre could be a really important central resource for them. That's the point I'm making, I think.
Yeah. We had a discussion about fundraising this week on Thursday night, and one of the points that was being made in that was that the Pride Centre could operate a shared services facility.
Great idea.
Right. Now, you can with shared services...
So IT, HR, payroll, finance, and a whole range of other telecommunications resources.
Fundraising.
Well, so you can start to see what some of the opportunities are when you establish a permanent home. Wow, the opportunities that can come with that are absolutely mind-blowing. So the other week, I was you were talking, Terry, about being out at Ballarat. I was at Bendigo. And I know Ro Allen is the commissioner. She's just completed a two-week tour all over Victoria.
The roadshow, wasn't it? The LGBTI roadshow.
The LGBTI roadshow, exactly, Taz. And so we can see that there is this excitement in places like Bendigo about the development of a Victorian Pride Centre. They were absolutely rapt, but they would also like a base
In Bendigo.
In Bendigo, I think.
And quite seriously, this could easily be the germ, if you that's awful.
The germ.
But, you know, in that
what
other
about the
sense of...
What about the catalyst?
The catalyst.
The catalyst. Yeah, for a lot of other
Thank
things.
Thank you, Jude.
Like sorry, Jude.
I think that says more about you, Terry, than it says
germ
about
is the right
else.
Anglo-Saxon word.
I like catalyst. So, Jude, who else can actually be part of this centre? Steve.
So in terms of membership and participation, and I mean, the centre, what we're trying to do is to be there for the community. So that's the community in its broadest sense. The priorities, as we've said, have been about actually getting ourselves established and doing what we've done, which is now securing a premises or a site that can become the home and then building out from there. So
I'd like to explore that a bit further, but we're going to take a little break shortly. But what I'd like to talk about, so I'll just get you thinking about this, is, I mean, are you a board of governance that oversees a building, or is it more than just a building? Is it really about building a service, a model that might be multifaceted? Jude and Steve, have you had time to think about those two questions?
Yeah, we have. And maybe I'll kick off with the piece around there. The statement was made, are we there just running a building? The answer is no, of course we're not. The building has been a large part of where we've had to begin, because we need to provide a permanent home. Now that it looks like we have secured that space and the funding is getting there, what that will allow us to do is to create something, and you said a second ago, something that's beautiful, something that's amazing. So actually getting to a point where there is a home that is financially secure into the future is really important, and it's an amazing opportunity that we have.
I might pick up on the question of the design of the building. So we can imagine, because it's on Fitzroy Street, St Kilda, that there will be great opportunities for some fantastic retail cafe type things downstairs. So people will be able to come in and maybe come in one door and out another into the Pride Centre. But there's the opportunity through the design of the building for there, in fact, to be three different entrances, because we've got Fitzroy Street, one side of Jackson Street, and another, if you can imagine that, with an L-shaped building that there's capacity to enter it from a number of different places. So imagine it'll be a very friendly, welcoming area in right throughout the building, but particularly as you come in on the ground floor. And then moving through the rest of the building, there'll be collaboration and shared spaces. And as we discussed, Tess, last time with Macca, the opportunity for some sponsorship around those collaboration and shared spaces for the long term, or indeed for a couple of years. There's going to be some opportunity for individual and corporate sponsorship as part of our fundraising efforts. But when you think about the building, you go into some buildings and you think, oh, this is just a rabbit warren. Or you go into other buildings and think, oh, my God, this is like a barn. But then there's other places you go into and you get this sense of welcome. We think good designers and architects are at the key of that. But we can't afford to have an architectural competition that adds another year to our program, our building program. So what Peter McEwen, one of our board members, is doing with Professor Dimity Reed and the City of Port Phillip is trying to come up with a really clever way of integrating elements of a competition and tender process for architects in with town planning, in with consultation with the LGBTI community, in with consultation with the residents of the City of Port Phillip, so that we have a really streamlined process that produces a brilliant design.
And knowing Peter McEwen, I'm sure he'll actually work a way to drive through all of that and make it happen. But tell us a little bit about this idea of the centre rather than the building. How's that going to work, and what's your role versus the role of, say, the Joy Board? Or the VAC board?
In the sense of us being a catalyst for the community, I think there'll be a sense of, and we can already see it. Ro Allen today is at a transgender teddy bear picnic, right, for transgender kids.
That's fantastic.
It's just a fantastic thing. And the community is a broad community. But there are emerging needs that people haven't even yet really come to grips with.
Yes.
And I think this is the nature of our society, our community, and that we would want to be, along with others, really keeping an eye on how things are going. For instance, the question about services to the western suburbs, northern suburbs, and outer Melbourne and to rural Victoria. Keeping an eye on that question and seeing what we can do to prompt and support.
One of our listeners typed in saying, in some ways, being in one of the suburbs just out of the centre is better than being in the centre. When did you last try to drive into Melbourne?
Yes.
And I think he makes a good point.
Yeah, so that the elements of what make up the Pride Centre, we went through a very extensive consultation process, and that will continue in terms of the future design. But we know that car parking on site is important. We know that access is important. And the number 96 tram, I've travelled on it, and you would have a million times, Taz.
Oh, it's my local. I love it.
So it's 16 minutes, and it's effectively light rail. It's not just a tram service. It rockets along as you come.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a great service.
When you come off from the casino, then you get onto the South Melbourne, what was the old South Melbourne
rail. Flies
all the way, unencumbered. There's no crossings or anything like that. It's above the normal road system, which are sets of underpasses. It just rockets along there with, I think, how many stops is it now?
Oh, I think it's
about
four.
Is it South Melbourne, Albert Park, Middle Park?
There you go.
Yeah.
Fraser Street.
See, I grew up in Port Melbourne, so I know that area really well.
I should know them all off by heart, but I don't. But I was going to say, and I've said this to you before.
It's 16 minutes anyway.
I've said this to you before, from Spencer Street Station, that is, or Southern Cross Station.
Yeah, from Southern Cross. I've walked from Southern Cross across to the Collins Street area. And it's also wheelchair accessible. It's a wheelchair accessible stop, and so is the stop closest to the new Pride Centre location. And it's really very quick.
And I've said this to you before, the Lonely Planet Guide lists the number 96 tram ride as one of those must-do touristy things for people who are visiting Melbourne.
Hey, you know what? I just remembered. I got a present once of a photo of the number 96 tram, and Louise and I used to have it in our Paddington house in Brisbane. How prescient is that?
How interesting.
That was forecasting something. How spooky.
How long ago was that?
How spooky. That would have been 20 years ago.
Jeez.
Oh, there's special music
Russian
that can be played now.
Agents.
That's right.
So tell us about opportunities for non-LGBTI organisations to be able to participate in the development of this fantastic initiative. So who am I thinking of? In St Kilda, in the city of Port Phillip, there's a multitude of community housing service providers, community health services. There's even a massive hospital down the road, the Alfred. And then there's all the denominationals like Sacred Heart Mission, Salvation Army, and a whole range of other services.
So we've already engaged widely pro bono and other voluntary services as we've got to this point. As we've worked through the legal issues, as we've worked through some of the evaluation criteria, as we've engaged with the community, there's been a very, very wide consultation and involvement. And I think that's only going to continue as we get to the next stage and build out from there.
Sounds great.
Actually, Jude's just reminded me, we've already had about $1 million of pro bono services provided to get us to this point.
Right,
so,
wow.
So there's been very active engagement throughout.
So Hall and Wilcox, our lawyers, have given us close to $190,000 worth of pro bono services. PricewaterhouseCoopers have put in at least 100K of pro bono services. Major Projects Victoria have put in $260,000 worth of pro bono services.
Well, that's extraordinary.
It's just like we wouldn't be where we are at now.
Without that support.
If I can say, some of the submissions that we got from City of Port Phillip, City of Yarra, they were just knockout submissions. So the amount of time that they have put in, it's just there were countless hours that went in from volunteers who supported those submissions. So it's just extraordinary.
And I think to add to that, actually working with these companies that have, and the individuals that have supported, has been wonderful. They've been so engaged and supportive and excited about what we're trying to do.
Without trying to, tighten the screws in any way, what's the timeline look like, realistically?
Good question.
I think it's around December 2020 when I was drawing one up on Thursday night for everybody.
Yeah.
And we've got a big task to find the extra $10 million, right? And we're going to have to think cleverly about financing options, I think, to get us over that line. So we've got $15 million from the state government, which will come through when the business case is finally approved by them, probably around May. So there's been a little bit of a hiccup there, a delay in through scheduling issues from them. And then we are in negotiations with the Victorian AIDS Council about a contribution
about them
from them.
A bit earlier, yeah.
Yes, I heard that interview. And those negotiations are quite advanced.
Yep. That's great news. So the shortfall, what's that about?
The shortfall is that the build, which involves also a sinking fund, is of the order of $35 million. So if you can imagine 15, and we don't like to lock Victorian AIDS Council into a figure because that's going to be the negotiations, but say that 15 plus a figure was around 25, then we're...
The rest.
We've got to find the rest. And I know we will be doing some things like establishing bequest services and those sorts of things for the long term, but we will have some immediate fundraising efforts that we will be getting underway shortly.
I have a question from a listener. Nina wants to know whether there's going to be a doctor's surgery at the centre.
And the answer is yes.
Fantastic. Isn't there one next door that's currently operated by the VAC?
Yes, so the Victorian AIDS Council depending on how all the negotiations go, would be likely to be offering clinical services then.
We've run out of full primary healthcare sort of setup, not just the GPs. What are you looking at?
I think some of that detail still has to be worked out, Terry.
And that's actually linked into the VAC service profile. Yep. And they do deliver a whole range of counselling services and community development services and so forth. We've run out of time, unfortunately. Jude and Steve, great to have you in the studio. Thank you for your time. I know our listeners are really interested in this topic. We certainly are. This, I think, is the most exciting development that's happened to our communities in a long, long time. So thanks for your leadership. We will continue to invite you into this show to talk to us about
hey,
what's
Taz,
occurring.
What about if someone's got a loose million at the moment? Who do they ring?
Yeah, good question.
Oh, they can ring me. And some people say, don't give out your mobile, but it's 0419 393 690.
Do you want to repeat that again?
0419 393 690.
There we go.
Anybody? You might be lucky.
Anybody with a loose million bucks, you know where to go.
Listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.